Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, September 26, 2014. The Catholic Church in South Sudan is calling on the warring parties to stop fighting immediately and restore peace to the country.
The current war in South Sudan is evil. We can accept no excuses nor conditions from any party or individual for continuation of the war.
And South Sudan's Minister of Justice tells a panel in New York that internally displaced persons affected by the fighting are returning home. But UN mission in South Sudan says the number of IDPs at their camps still stands at 99,000 people.
Around 99,000 are staying at various bases of UNMISS nationwide. So I think it's fair to say that most of the people who we've been protecting for these past months are still staying on our premise.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's Catholic bishops today called for an immediate end to the country's nine-month-old conflict at the end of a three-day meeting in Juba. The bishops also decried corruption in public offices and castigated the country's politicians for dividing people along tribal lines. For VOA News, Waki Simon Wudu has this report from Juba.
Here is the Metropolitan Archbishop of Juba, Paulino Lukudu-Loro, reading from a strongly worded pastoral letter addressed to South Sudan's leaders and its citizens during a news conference in Juba today.
We, the Catholic bishops of South Sudan, meeting in Juba from 23 to 25th September 2014, compelled by the gospel imperative and having deliberated on the situation of the church in South Sudan and on the people in our country, solemnly declare that the current war in South Sudan is evil. There is no moral justification for any further killing. We can accept no excuses nor conditions from any party or individual for continuation of the war.
The conflict erupted last December in Juba after a political disagreement within the ruling SPLM party, which quickly turned violent and spread across the country. Peace talks mediated by the Regional Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, have dragged on, stopping and starting for 8 months with no success. Loro says the bishops believe only peaceful dialogue will end the crisis.
The fighting and killing must stop immediately and unconditionally. Political and other grievances must indeed be addressed, but only when the fighting is stopped. We declare before God that it is evil for any party to use to continue violence to try to further their political agenda.
Loro says there is no reason why innocent civilians should continue to die.
We call on every political leader, every military officer, every individual soldier, every armed civilian, whether government or opposition or individuals, to avoid any further killing. It is immoral and evil. The question to ask ourselves is, do I have the sincere will to renounce violence, to compromise, and to bring peace?
The bishops do not believe the leaders of the two warring parties, President Salva Kiir and former Vice President Riek Machar, have asked themselves that question. Loro agrees with the U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry that the crisis in South Sudan was man-made and that hundreds of thousands of citizens who were traumatized during previous conflicts have been re-traumatized by the current one. He says the conflict has undermined South Sudan's independence and damaged its image. Loro says citizens' rights, including freedom of speech, are being threatened by both sides. And he decried the misuse of public funds by South Sudan's leaders.
We condemn corruption and tribalism. We challenge all our political leaders, whether in government or opposition, and remind them that political leadership is about service to all the citizens of South Sudan, not about personal power and wealth for favoring one community or other.
The United States, IGAD, the African Union, and the United Nations have all called on both sides to end the fighting immediately, agree to a peace deal, and form a transitional government. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Udo reporting from Juba.
South Sudan has been on the lips of many at the UN General Assembly meeting in New York. Earlier this week, South Sudanese Justice Minister Paulino Wanawila Onango joined former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo, along with the Human Rights Director for the UN mission in South Sudan and other officials, at a panel discussing on South Sudan. The Justice Minister used the discussion to read out a list of the good works the government has done since the conflict started. But as Karen Zaivogo reports, others on the panel, including Mr. Obasanjo, disagreed with what Onango said.
The Justice Minister says one of the key successes of the government has been to convince people in South Sudan that the conflict has no ethnic overtones.
We formed something called Crisis Management Committee. Its mandate was to maintain stability and calmness among South Sudanese, and this has been a successful measure in sensitizing the population, especially in other states which were not affected by the rebellion, that what happened in Juba was not an ethnic feud, but a political disagreement among politicians from different ethnic backgrounds, from both sides of the government and the attempted coup plotters.
Onango says that after accomplishing its mission, the Crisis Management Committee has handed its duties over to a new committee. It's called the
Peace, Reconciliation and Healing Committee, headed by the Vice President.
He says that committee has gone around South Sudan, including to states that have been hard hit by the fighting. It's spreading
the same message that there was no any ethnic struggle based especially among the two major ethnic groups in my country, but it was a political struggle within the same party resulting into the armed conflict.
But President Obasanjo, who chairs an African Union Commission of Inquiry set up several months ago to investigate human rights abuses in South Sudan, says he doesn't see eye to eye with Onango on that point.
I do not want to contradict the position of my brother, the Minister of Justice. Yes, the recent problem, the one of the 15th of December, started as a political disagreement in Juba, but it quickly degenerated to an ethnic conflict, an ethnic dispute, if I can put it that way, and it has led particularly among two major ethnic groups, the Dinkas and the Noors. It had led to a very, very bad situation.
Mr. Obasanjo says the saving grace of South Sudan is its people.
Wherever we go and meet these people in displaced camps, internally displaced persons camp, in refugees, they all say, we were one together, we were one before, we can still be one, but certain things have to take place.
Among the things that have to take place so that South Sudan can move from war to peace, he says, is
there must be genuine reconciliation, and part of the what should be involved in reconciliation, genuine reconciliation, is remorse. People must show remorse. Things have happened.
Justice Minister Onango also said in his speech that the government has made Juba safe again through a peace-building committee it set up.
This committee has succeeded in Juba in bringing out a lot of people from the IDPs, compound, which was on the enemies. And those who have come out, the government has tried its level best to provide them with their basic needs. And also, the government has improved the security in the town by providing more police force in those areas.
But again, a member of the panel in New York disagrees with him. Ibrahim Wani is the director of human rights for the UN mission in South Sudan.
Despite a de-escalation in the fighting, serious human rights problems persist in South Sudan. This includes violations and abuses related to continued sporadic fighting, often by proxies or in inter-ethnic clashes. There are continued reports of killings, mass displacement, overall insecurity, and the attendant disruption to the lives of civilians.
The latest UN data show that around 28,000 people are still sheltering at two UNMISS compounds in Juba. Joseph Contreras is a spokesman for the UN mission in South Sudan, and he says there is little evidence to support the justice minister's assertion that people who sought shelter in UN compounds are going back home.
As far as the number of internally displaced persons staying at the peacekeeping mission's bases are concerned, the latest estimate that I've seen is around 99,000 are staying at various bases of UNMISS nationwide. So I think it's fair to say that most of the people who we've been protecting for these past months are still staying on our premises.
Mr. Obasanjo says South Sudanese investigators who have been helping his team are expected to wrap up their work this month and will then report to the AU commission he leads. While he would not second-guess the findings of the local investigators, Obasanjo was certain about one thing.
There's no doubt that there has been gross violation of human rights in South Sudan. And it's across the board. No South Sudan leader can claim innocence.
Mr. Obasanjo did not say when the Commission of Inquiry's final report will be completed. Tomorrow, President Salva Kiir will address the UN General Assembly. South Sudan in Focus will carry his speech in a special broadcast. For VOA News, I'm Karen Zeitvogel.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, European Union makes a hefty donation to NGOs operating in South Sudan. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how would you define corruption?
Corruption is giving someone money or something to make sure that someone favors you in any other way. I have encountered corruption like in schools. You find that some other people are paying some money.
Corruption is an unlawful transaction that happens between two people. Yeah, in the sense that one or both of them have to benefit, but not in a way that is good.
To me, corruption is like taking money that is for public or any other thing, any asset that is meant for a public, and you take it for your personal use.
To me, corruption is a misuse of any public resource, be it asset, be it money or what, some of that kind. Yeah, any misuse of public resource.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Four children in Warrap State have been offered scholarship by the Kenya Commercial Bank, or KCB, to allow them to go to high school. State education officials say the scholarships are offered to bright students who might otherwise be forced to leave school earlier because their parents cannot afford to pay their school fees. For VOA News, Santino Manuda Yuel reports from the state capital, Kwajok.
16-year-old Elisa Angabol proudly holds up a check of 10,000 South Sudanese pounds at Kwajok National Secondary School. The check is for herself and three other students who were chosen to receive KCB scholarships this year. Angab was awarded the scholarship because she does well in class and is disciplined, but cannot afford to pay a school fees of 500 South Sudanese pounds. The scholarship covers the school fees, the price of uniform, and some spending money. Angav is an orphan, and if she had not been granted the scholarship, she would have had to drop out of the school. She expresses her gratitude for the scholarship as she receives the check.
I will be responsible for the other students or the children that will be coming. My feelings is very good for KCB. KCB have been responsible for us to have the educations.
Sadiq Mansavi, KCB's branch manager in Kwajok, urged the students sponsored by his bank to study hard and be examples for their peers. Student sponsorship is part of the bank's corporate social responsibility programs, Mansebi says.
I'm here today with the Kwajok National Secondary School to present a check for the four students KCB South Sudan is sponsoring in Warab State, which started last year, 2013, and this is the payment for 2014 academic year. The project commences in 2013 and it will continue.
Elisa is one of eight students at Kwajok National Secondary School who have received KCB scholarship. The bank, which is the largest in South Sudan, sponsors a total of 80 students attending high schools in all of South Sudan's 10 states. Ding Thiap Akol is another of the lucky students at Kwajok National Secondary School. Like Angaf, he is also an orphan. Akol says he fully intends to meet the expectations of the sponsors who have given him the scholarship to complete 4 years of high school. Akol says once he has finished school, he plans to help other people in South Sudan.
After completing this course successfully, I will complete with KCB and I will work with them as they are working now with us so that we support this nation, because this nation needs our support. Without us, nation cannot be successful.
South Sudanese children and their families have to pay school fees from primary school, but the tuition goes up when they reach high school and many kids drop out. Mayen Jonkor, principal of Kwajok National Secondary School, says he believes this year's KCB scholarship recipients will excel in their studies, get their diplomas and go on to do great things.
We received the check today, and I think check is going to be given to them according to the criteria. So I appreciate KCB and students who have been selected. I think they will be committed. I have trust in them. And KCB also should extend their sponsorship to either 5 or 6 students.
Established in 2011, KCB is not only the largest bank in South Sudan, but also the only bank operating in Warab State. The bank has been criticized by its clients for poor services, but that is not a sentiment that four students at Kwajok National Secondary Schools are likely to agree with. For BOA News, I'm Santino Manut Ayuel in Kwajok, Warab State.
Still on money issues, the European Union is ramping up its humanitarian assistance in South Sudan to provide food and shelter to those most affected by the conflict. David Shyrock is the EU coordinator for the Humanitarian Commission in South Sudan. He tells VOA fellow Nabil Biagio the European Union is donating 20 million euros to non-governmental organizations that deliver life-saving assistance to hundreds of thousands of people suffering from hunger, disease and insecurity in South Sudan. But he says the only way to put an end to the suffering in the country is to stop the fighting.
This funding will address basic needs of more than 1 million internally displaced people. It's in ways such as shelter, clean water, hygiene and protection, with a particular emphasis on protecting children and women.
This money, the 20 million euro donation, is going to be channeled through your partners on the ground. Tell me about your partners and how are you going to work with them to reach the people in need in South Sudan.
As you're probably aware, it's a very challenging situation in South Sudan at the moment because of the ongoing fighting. South Sudan is a country with very little developed infrastructure. There's very few roads, and we're in the rainy season at the moment, so a lot of the country is effectively in lockdown. It's very difficult to move around. And what it has meant in the earlier parts of the year has been it's meant that we've had to use alternative means of distributing aid, using flights, which are very, very expensive, and also moving cargo and freight by river, by water. We also have the problem of the high level of insecurity in the country, which makes it a very challenging place for humanitarian aid to be delivered. So all in all, the picture the picture is extremely bleak, really. Aid operations will remain inadequate as long as the conflict continues.
There are many problems in South Sudan going on right now, food insecurity, but there is also disease, the outbreak of cholera, Kala-Azar. What is your priority?
You're absolutely right. I mean, there's a worsening in the humanitarian situation. This is in part due to unpredictable floods of areas. There's outbreaks of cholera taking place, other diseases. You mentioned Kala-Azar. There's also malaria and hepatitis. And the situation was exacerbated because the harvest was lost because of fighting. The opportunity to plant during the crops planting season was lost. More than half of the country is inaccessible by land. So you have a very complex, multi-layered crisis taking place. When you ask about the immediate priorities, well, the first priority is distributing essential food and materials in order to avoid this further deterioration in the food security situation of the country. And then on top of that, do you have questions of security, i.e. providing shelter and safe drinking water and hygiene issues?
In terms of security for your personnel, are you able to go into areas to IDP camps to identify the IDPs who are in most need? Is it not a challenge?
What I can say about that really is that attacks against humanitarian workers and the general insecurity that prevails in the country at the moment do both seriously constrain access to those in need, which is why we are making a call, we continue to make the call that we've been making for a very long time now, for a ceasefire to come into effect, to be respected by everybody, for the fighting to end, and for negotiations to get underway so that this can be brought to an end.
That's David Sharrock, coordinator of EU Humanitarian Commission in South Sudan. He spoke with VOA fellow Nabil Biagio from Brussels earlier today. Though many South Sudanese communities keep livestock, the animals are not meant for meat or milk, but rather for prestige. They are also used to pay dowry, for bride's dowry. In Jonglei State, one of the areas with a huge population of cattle, officials say they would like to change communities' attitudes towards cattle. They want villagers to use the cattle for monetary benefits. Philip Thonaleu reports from Bor.
It is time to free the cattle from a cattle camp in Tibek, about 5 kilometers outside the Jonglei state capital, Bor. In this camp, owners worry whether all the animals will return home later in the evening because of a deadly disease that has killed hundreds, possibly even thousands, of cattle since April. Boletiak, a pastoralist and father of 6, says he has kept cattle for several years. Siak worries an unidentified disease may soon kill his animals.
People cannot live without cattle. Cattle are the highland of human growth and survival. But now our cattle are being finished by disease, and this is how our lives are going to be finished too. I think animal disease needs a very serious intervention, and God will help you succeed.
Sek says he and his family now live at the cattle camp after being displaced from their village in Bor during the fighting in Jonglei. Sek says his children live on milk and maize flour distributed to the IDPs by UN agencies. Charles Chibending, livestock officer with a community-based organization called the Smile Again Africa organization, says nearly 20,000 cattle have been vaccinated for viral diseases including East Coast fever and foot rot in Bor County, Jonglei State, since April. Ding, whose organization is funded by the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, says cattle are integral to the livelihood of many citizens in Jonglei.
The people who are in Jonglei State, they depend on animal. 80% of the population within, their livelihood depend on livestock. And the one problem we have as a community here, they keep livestock on the quantity, not quality. So, and the main activities for this livestock for them, it is sexual activities, for marriage, giving name and other ceremony, but not for economic use.
Deng says his group is trying to change people's attitude about the use of livestock to that of an economic value. He says he needs more than his 10 livestock outreach officers to pull out across the state and determine what it is are killing the animals. He says his officers use traditional methods to determine an animal illness and to prescribe its treatment. Due to the ongoing fighting and the displacement of hundreds of thousands of people from their homes, many people are relying on cattle as the only source of food to feed their families. At least 1.5 million South Sudanese have been classified as food insecure by international humanitarian agencies, despite the potential to feed its people and even harvest a surplus to export food. The vast majority of food in South Sudan is imported. Vice President James Wanyika says this trend must change. In speaking at a forum earlier this week in Juba, Wanyika said local farmers should be encouraged to produce more food, not only for their family's consumption, but also to sell in the market.
And we should not depend on our neighbors for everything. Otherwise, we become slaves of our neighbors.
Deng, the livestock officer in Bor, says government does have a role to play in changing people's mind about farming.
Our community, they don't have knowledge about livestock keeping. So, like how to control diseases, how to marketing the animals and even the product they have.
Boutros Diok, Director of Veterinary Services at the Ministry of Livestock and Animal Resources in Jonglei, says government is doing everything in its power to help farmers. Diok says government officers had vaccinated animals regularly, but not in the last 9 months due to the conflict. He agrees that cattle keepers should be encouraged to use their cows for food.
When we were small, and myself, when I was small, I think the first food I get, the mother milk. After that, it is a cow milk.
Thon Anyuat, a cattle keeper in Bor, says the government does not provide any significant assistance to cattle keepers like himself. He says they do get early from NGOs who provide drugs that treat animal diseases, but it is not enough.
Some were brought and they helped our cattle, but the drugs were very few. Our animals die from a lack of drugs. If the government knows that cattle are important, then they should bring in more medicine.
Anyuat says if cattle owners are to be trained on how to use their cattle as farm animals, the animal must first be alive. He says the government should step up and establish a well-funded vaccination program. For BOA News, I am Philip Thonaleu in Juba.
Well, that's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Bandito by Manuel Camilo from Western Bahr al-Ghazal State.
Dakateba kontang nang aiti wono teno yo bandito ninde. Dakateba kontang nang abanga wono teno yo bandito ninde. Modi wello di sine bibanga. Modi wello di sine birunga. Modi wello di sine bota. Moda wello kere neri tai bano me. Dakaba matino ninde. Moda wello kere neri tai bano me. Dakapa matino ni ninde
ani da ngo tamru ngo tarango no
dene no sono ti de kada uta bano
anga so ni meditize wi
my vi na de no binga nda uta bindi fu no badir yo no ai tuta kitito tale no bandito duta matani no tonze ti a gindo no so ni tamar bone tan zombo ni ta sei ni ta zoko decide with the level ke ibo bidu novo de critique lo votiru tizo zuru naso Nazangbe yabi kambe delba de wude kata soko na telba kude bambe na telo bibi nabo dizeno atono livo ni tawali tando bo niti delo te yelwo veni no kabandi fo dizeno ako kumrete do tizi endu nazo fene ata filindo wabaye wati imuro nipe tele bandi fo nipe sine deke zondo tagbindi ta viso nita pake na la zondo.
We have been listening to Emmanuel Camilo with the song Bandito. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being here. Have a terrific weekend. We hope you will be back with us on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.